And then the second part is how we do that. And I'm going to share some stuff that I do that works well for me, some new technology that's out there. We always have our phones in our hands, don't we? Or a lot of us do, that maybe you can dip into. And at the end, I've got a printout of all the resources that I'm going to talk about that you can take away. So is that okay with everybody? So can you put my first slide up, please, Kane? So, why spend time in the Word? So Scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John tells us here that the Word is God. So spending time in his word is actually spending time with God. So when we're digging into our Bible and we're reading stuff in there, we're actually spending time with God. It's a relationship when we're reading in the Bible. In Matthew 24:35, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass. And Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flowers fade. We just sang about that, haven't we? How, you know, the flowers fade. But the word of God will stand forever. So here we are being told that the word is God and that it was there right from the very beginning. And we're also being told that it will never die and that it will stand forever. So for me, something that is eternal, that's been there right from the very beginning, I think warrants some attention. And it's something that we need to be getting into and digging into regularly. So it's always going to be there. It's forever and forever relevant and forever needed. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Jesus took that from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 and Luke, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Now, I didn't put these in my PowerPoint, but I have this morning, technology. Used one of my apps and done a screenshot of, if I can find my gallery, there we go, of Deuteronomy 8:3. And Deuteronomy 8:3 says this, so I'm sorry it's not on the screen, but he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So what's he talking about there? Well, we all know that we need food and water to live on physically, but God's not talking about that. He's talking about our spirit and that we need spiritually to be alive as well. And the only way that we can look after our spirit and keep it healthy is by spending time in the Word of God and spending time with him. So it's a two thing there. We've got the physical being, but we've got our spiritual side as well. And that's what God's talking about. To be spiritually alive, we have to feed our minds and our hearts with every word that comes from God, which is in here, the Bible. Okay, next slide, please, Kane. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So Paul's telling us here that God's word is alive and active even today. And it challenges our thoughts and our attitudes. And it has the power to reach deep down into our spirit. Because left to our own thoughts and devices, we can easily go astray. And I was trying to think of an example of this. And I was thinking about, I know some people, and even myself in certain situations where I can be really quick to anger. You know, certain things tick my, you know, red button. Driving's one of them. I've sort of shared about that before. But some of us have really short fuses and we can react really quickly and angrily to stuff. But when you read the Word of God, it says in James 1, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And in Psalm 145:6, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. And in Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a quick temper displays folly or foolishness. So by reading the word of God there, straight away I'm challenged by bad behaviour. When I have these trigger points that flash, you know, that tick my boat, if you like, and make me angry, actually, when I'm reading the word of God, it's saying you shouldn't be like that. God's not like that with you. He's very slow to anger with you when you get things wrong. Be the same with others. So that's where the word of God challenges our thoughts and our attitudes. And if you're not in it, you won't learn it and you won't know and you won't be challenged. So you have to read the word of God. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So David shares the truth that God's word will light our path. So in other words, he's going to show us the direction we need to go in. He'll give us and equip us the map, if you like, for life. And if we keep our focus on God's word and our focus with God, we won't go far wrong, actually. We won't get distracted and go off pathways that we shouldn't do. So he lights up our paths for us throughout life. Next slide, okay. Psalm 119, verses 10 to 11. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. For me, this just displays really great wisdom. You know, a person can stay on the right path if they live according to God's word. And it has to, we have to be in it enough for it to get into our hearts and become who we are, almost like part of our DNA. And if we get it in our hearts, it stops us again from going astray. But if we're not reading it and we're not pouring it in there, we haven't got it to use it as we go along in our lives, and we can find ourselves making wrong choices and actually dishonouring God. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So, Paul's reminds us here that this Bible's been around a long, long time, right from the beginning, but it still has the power to teach us even today in our so-called modern world. You know, there's some important, invaluable lessons in there. And I think one of the main things is time and time again, we see in the Bible stories of people that went through horrendously hard times, but how God stepped in all the way and he got them through and he works things out for the better. But if we don't read those stories, we can't be encouraged by them. And I think, you know, life is tough. It's not easy. Even being a Christian, we still have tough stuff to go through. And we need encouragement and we need a hope for our future. And you get it by reading the word. Will someone get me a glass? Will you get me a glass of water here, please? My mouth's gone a bit dry. Thank you. The next slide, please, Kane. So to summarise why we need the word of God, the word is God. It's always existed and always will and will never change. We need it to be alive spiritually. It's a living word that teaches and guides us in life. Thank you, Viv. It stops us from being deceived and it brings encouragement and hope. And I like that little capture there. God's word is alive and growing within you and me. So, you know, every time we put something in us that's of God's word, it doesn't just sit there dormant. It starts to grow and flourish and changes from the inside out. It's alive. It's active. It does good stuff in us. Okay, so that's the word of God. And there'll be other, there's lots, I mean, I'm just dipping in here. I'm just taking out some bits. There's lots of other stuff in there, I'm sure, that are life lessons and reasons why we should be in the word of God, but those are just some of the stuff that I pulled out. So the next thing we're going to look at is why we need to spend time in prayer. So again, I've done the same thing. I've pulled some scriptures out to see what the Bible tells us about prayer. And in Luke 18, verse 1, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable, that's a story, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So here we see Jesus himself telling us that we should always pray and never give up. You know, it's something that it's actually a command that he's given us. Don't stop praying. Don't stop talking to your God. Even if you can't see an answer, never give up. Keep talking to him. In Thessalonians 5, verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes we forget to rejoice and give thanks to God. When life's pretty okay and we're on like an even keel, if you like, and things are just motoring along, we tend to get on with stuff, don't we? And we can forget to include God and give him thanks. But it says, in all circumstances, pray to God. So I know when tough times happen, the first place I'm on is on my knees, praying to God, do something about this. But he wants us in the same place when things are good as well. And you know, so it's important that we include God in every circumstance and give him praise. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but when you're worrying about something or you've got a really big issue, it can really set your heart racing and your mind going, and you can wake up in the middle of the night having hot sweats, really stressing about stuff. But the minute that I stop and start and get on my knees and start praying to God and putting him in the middle of that circumstance, the heart settles down, the mind stops racing, and you feel this peace come over. Yeah. And that is massive. And you know, for me, prayer just brings the absolute confidence that God's in control and he's going to do something even in the midst of our worst situations. And it says there in Philippians, don't be anxious about anything. When you're worried about something, stop worrying and get on your knees and get in front of God and ask him to be in the middle of it, and you'll experience his peace. Luke 6. Oh, next slide, please, Kane. Sorry, I'm whizzing ahead. Luke 6:12-13. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. So Jesus here has got a big, major decision to make. He needs to appoint 12 men to be his apostles that, when he finally goes back up to heaven, are going to move the church forward, if you like. These are important men, and he has to choose wisely. And he spent quite a bit of time with this big group of people. But before he makes that choice, he spends the whole night on a mountainside on his own praying to God before he came back to make that decision. Now, if Jesus needs to spend a whole night on his knees praying to God, then I'm sure that I do. I'm sure that you do. If you've got major decisions, or even small decisions, in fact, then you need to be getting on your knees and spending time with God, praying about them and asking him to help you make the right choice. James 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. As we spend time getting closer to God, he will come closer to us. You know, if we only give him a little bit of our time, maybe 5-10 minutes in the morning when you first wake up before you get out of bed, and then you don't go back to him throughout the day, God can only draw close to you in that 5-10 minutes that you're giving him. But if you keep going back to him and you keep having longer time with him, the more time you spend with him, the more he's able to do things in you. And you know, I don't know if you can read that very well. It says, you are as close to God as you choose to be. God never leaves us, but he can only input when we go to him. I remember reading, I've got a little Joyce Meyer book, and I guess somebody's had this vision, it's a story, whatever you want to say, and it's a picture of Jesus sat at a table in a dining room, and he sat there waiting to have a conversation with a family member in this family. And all day he sits there waiting, and all day the family member's in and out and in and out and in and out, and never once does he sit down with the Lord to have that conversation. And yet Jesus is just sat there patiently waiting to have that time with him. And that picture sort of stuck in my mind. I thought, how many times have I been that busy that I've not included God and Jesus in my day, and he's been sat there waiting desperately for me to turn around and just include him in that moment. And that broke my heart a little bit. So, you know, if nothing else, picture him sat there waiting for you to have a conversation with him. Draw close to him so he can draw close to you. Next slide, please, Kane. So to summarise why we need to pray, Jesus tells us to, and it's God's will. It gives us chance to draw close to God and Him to us. It reminds us how good God is as we rejoice in Him. You know, we sit there and we start praising Him. We remind ourselves how good He is. Prayer eases our minds and hearts. And in today's society where depression, anxiety, stress is such a huge thing, prayer eases our minds and hearts. Prayer helps us make big decisions, and I would add on that small decisions as well. Prayer is our personal one-to-one time with our Father, who is interested in all areas of our lives. Okay, so that's the why we need the Word and why we need prayer. So let's move on to how. And you, some of you guys will have some really good habits that you've formed over the years that have helped you spend time with God. And what I would encourage you to do is to share that with someone. You know, we've got lots of new members in church. Get alongside them. Ask them, how do you spend time with God? You know, do you need some help and advice on that? Have you tried this? This is what I've done. You know, we've all got a part to play to encourage one another. Share what you're doing. But my first tip, really, is you've got to be determined to carve out some time to do this each and every day. God's not going to force your hand. You know, it's our choice to sit down and be still and have that time with God. It's our choice how much time we give Him, but you have to be determined to do it. Commit to time that you know you won't be disturbed. Okay, there's no point thinking about I'm going to go and have half an hour reading my Bible or half an hour prayer time or whatever. If you know that you're expecting someone to call in the next 10 minutes or you've got the kids are coming in and Mum, what's for tea? Or you just find a time where you know that you're going to be quiet and you're not going to be disturbed. And if there are people around you, let them know you don't want to be disturbed. Actually, I'm just going off now. I'm going to have half an hour quiet time on my own. I don't want to be disturbed. And there's nothing barring a major emergency. The house is on fire. But that you need to disturb me for. I'll see you in half an hour and let them know. Another tip I've put down is to find a way to study the Word that suits you. Now, technology is amazing, and the Bible now comes in every single format imaginable, I think, really. If you're a reader and you like to hold something, you know, you might like to hold a physical book, get hold of a good Bible. If you need help with a good choice of a good Bible, come and speak to the elder, one of the elders or one of the older members in church that have been coming a while. Ask them what kind of Bible they read. You might be that you are, well, I mean, we're so engaged with visual stuff these days, aren't we? YouTube and Facebook and TV and everything like that. But you might be a visual learner. Well, there's some really good reading apps now that you can get that have mini videos that you can watch and explain the Bible and explain scripture. So get linked into one of them if you're a visual learner. Maybe you prefer to listen. You might be one of these that's got headphones in and you prefer to just sit, whether you're driving or you're having some quiet time and you want to listen to the Word. Well, again, you can get an audio Bible online. And you can even get, these days, colouring Bibles. So if you're creative, a little bit like me, and you like to want to spend time in the Word and do a bit of creativity, you know, whatever floats your boat, engage with a Bible that you know will encourage you to keep going at it, I would say. Find a way that suits you. Another tip I've put down is be accountable to somebody. So what do I mean by that? I just mean that if you know someone's going to ask you, what have you read this week in the Bible, you're more likely to keep doing it. You keep doing it. So share with someone that you're committing to a reading plan and just share what you're learning and ask questions. Just get talking to somebody. You know, not only will you encourage yourself, but you'll also encourage them as well. Next slide, please, Kane. Another tip that I've put down here, this is to do around prayer, is maybe to think about having a prayer partner. Now, I'll give you an example of this. I'm a cat manager, as you know. We manage the centre here. But we have area managers that cover the whole of the UK. And once a week, every Thursday morning, for half an hour, four or five of the area managers will get together on Skype or Facebook Messenger, however they do it, and they do a video call and they pray with one another for half an hour on a video call. They're all in different locations across the UK, but they commit every Thursday morning for half an hour to spend that time in prayer, praying for one another and the needs of their areas and centre managers. Technology is amazing when used in the right way. But, you know, there might be somebody here in church that, you know, you've got a special relationship with that you could trust. If you're choosing a prayer partner, it's got to be somebody that you can trust, because you're going to be potentially praying for some really personal stuff. But having someone that's got your back, that you know that you can trust, that you can go to when you've got an issue to pray with, is immeasurable. It really, really is. So maybe think about having a prayer partner. Get into the habit of talking to God wherever you are. This made me chuckle a bit when I wrote this down. But, I mean, I think most of us will probably start our day with God. The first thing I do when I wake up is go, morning, God. What are we going to do today? And when I get in bed, I always say, thank you for my bed, Lord. Thank you that I've got a safe home and stuff. But, you know, just have a continuing conversation with him. And I just had visions of me walking down the supermarket going, right, God, and talking out loud. But I don't mean that. I mean talking your heart. You know, if you're in the supermarket, who do you want me to bless today, Father? Is this someone that I can smile and say hi to? You know, we don't know. People live very isolated lives. They might not have anybody say hi or smile at them. And, you know, we can bless people in really small ways. But just being observant, talking to God, asking him to show you stuff, actually can be a great way of having that one-to-one and keeping that communication going. I put here, come along to our prayer meetings. You know, we have them on every second and last Wednesday of the month. They're a great time of coming together and just waiting on God and listening to what he says. And I can guarantee if you come, God will be waiting. But you need to be here to be part of it. And that little caption up there really spoke to me. The value of persistent prayer is not that he will hear us, but that we will finally hear him. And I think that's so important. Our lives are so busy and so noisy that sometimes his voice gets drowned out. But when we're quiet and sat with God in prayer and in the word, that's when we finally start to hear what he's trying to tell us. So those are some tips. And now we're going to look at some apps. And some of you are going, oh, apps, technology. I know Christine was saying to me, oh, technology before. But you know what, right? There's a small group of us that are doing a Bible study on a Wednesday night. And on Wednesday, I just said, we were talking, some of the stuff we're going through is quite difficult and we have questions sometimes. And I said, who's got WhatsApp? And everyone in the group put their hand up, including, where's Audrey? She sat there, including our little Audrey at the back. And I was quite shocked that Audrey had got WhatsApp, but she has. No disrespect, Audrey. So all of us have got smartphones or near enough smartphones these days, or you've got access to the internet and a laptop or whatever. And there's some really good apps that you can access. Now, I found one this year that I've just started using, and I'm really enjoying engaging with it, and it's called Read Scripture, and you can download it from the Apple Store or from Google Play. And basically, it's a daily reading plan that takes you through the Bible in 12 months. But what's a little bit different about this is that each of the books of the Bible has got animated videos which explains all the different stuff that's going on within that book, but also how it fits in the bigger story of the Bible and how it all points to Jesus Christ. And it just brings it to life. It explains it really well and just encourages me in my reading of the Bible. So for me, that's been an invaluable tool that I'm going to continue to engage with. There are lots and lots of other reading apps out there that you can engage with. And if you've got something that you're using already that you find really useful, tell us about it. I think I'm going to try and get a page put on the website, Andy, with all these resources on there. So if you go on the Carmel website, you'll be able to look it up and click on links and stuff. But share. Yeah, if you've got something you're using that you like, share it and we'll get it on the website. Next one, please. Right, I know a lot of you use this already, but I've included it because there might be one or two sat here that have not come across it, and it's the Bible Gateway. Now, basically, this is every version of the Bible you could ever find, really, online. It's an amazing tool. You can look up a scripture and then read all the different versions that are out there. So whether you're a King James fan or you're the NIV fan, you can get all the different versions on there. But not only that, they also have audio Bibles on there. So if you prefer to listen, you can click on it. It's all free. You don't have to pay for it. They have a verse of the day that comes up. So, you know, you can be you can read what verse it is and really ponder over it. They have really good, sort of like written words from ministers right across the world on there that will encourage you as well. So it's a fantastic resource and one that I would definitely recommend you got on your phone or on your laptop. Next slide, please, Kane. Now, I came across this tool last year, and this has really helped me in my prayer walk, and it's called the Inner Room app. And basically, it's a place, it's like having a mini prayer board in your phone. So if you've got some people that you're praying for, situations that you're praying for, you can list them all within this app, and every time you click onto it, it brings up the stuff that you're praying for. You can set it to send you a little reminder that you're going to pray today, or if you've got, find yourself and you've got 3 minutes spare, you know, if you're sat in a doctor's waiting room or you're waiting to pick somebody up and you're sat in your car, it's got a 3 minute button that you can press and it brings up some of your prayer requests and you can just spend 3 minutes in prayer praying for that. I found it invaluable and it's a really good tool. It's called the Inner Prayer Room. Have a look at it if you've got a phone. They do an audio prompts as well on there. So now, with any of these apps, if you fancy having a look at them but you're not great with technology and you're not sure and you need some help, come and ask. You know, there's lots of us in here that are good with technology. We'll sit down with you, we'll help you get them on your phone, we'll show you how they work, and you know, you can engage with them. The next slide. Now, this one isn't really to do with prayer and the word, but I put it on because I just love it. So I thought, well, while we're talking about technology, we'll include it. And it's called Yes, He Is App. And it's really an evangelistic tool. I was given this through CAP, and they have some absolutely amazing mini short videos that you can share with friends and family. So if you've got people that you're talking to about your faith who are asking questions, that want a little bit more information, this tool will give you some great videos that you can share and send on, and some really good help with regards to conversations. They've got people's stories on there, testimonies. They've got the gospel in a minute kind of thing. So have a look at it. If it's something that you'd be interested in, Yes He is another really good tool. So, in summary, this is my little leaflet that I produce that you can all take away. Places that you can go to get help to pray and study. We've got the Carmel website. So if you are not able to get in on a Sunday morning, most of our messages are recorded and you can access them through our website. We have prayer meetings at Carmel every second Wednesday and last Wednesday of the month. If you're struggling with prayer, you want to dip a bit deeper into it, get down to our prayer meetings. Speak to Mark, Jed, Sue or me if you want to be part of a Bible study group. For multi-versions of online Bibles and audio Bibles, check out Bible Gateway, or check out the Play Store and the iPhone app. For a daily reading plan with animated videos, check out Read Scripture. For personalised prayer prompts and reminders, download Inner Room. And then lastly, I've put on there, check out YouTube for worship songs and good preaching. And I've put some recommendations on there. What I will say as a footnote, there's everything on YouTube, everything, good and bad. So, you know, if you're going on YouTube and you're looking for stuff, maybe come and ask us for, if you want to listen to some good preachers, some recommendations, and we can point you in the right direction. Ray is a great resource for worship songs, so he will give you some good ideas about good worship. But again, a really good tool to access so that you can get into worship at home and listen to the word. That's it, folks. Hope that's been okay and informative.